Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject today, and it is on all of the headline news across the nation, those that will present any facts at all. We're Dr. John MacArthur of the Grace Community Church in California. He's been in the pulpit there 50-plus years, and he has simply said that they will defy the governor's orders to cease and desist worship services. He made the statement, Christ, not Caesar, is the head of our church, or head of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, do we honor Christ in the church, or do we honor government or Caesar, as Dr. MacArthur referred to it? Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. MacArthur has said, no, we're not going to close the church. In fact, in short, he says, as a church, we do not need state's permission to serve or to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. He has commanded us and said in other ways, it's never been the prerogative of civil government to order, to modify, forbid, or to mandate anything about worship services. When, how, and how often the church worships is not the subject of the state, that is Caesar. Caesar himself is subject to God. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the key to understanding the whole fiasco that we're talking about today, about honoring God or honoring government. We need to understand that government was formed by God, and government is under the authority. Caesar is under the authority of God, and not just some fiat determination based on distinction, whether it's Democrat or Republican. Ladies and gentlemen, we have governors in Virginia. We have governors in New Jersey, New York, and California, and Michigan. And I could go on across the nation, ladies and gentlemen, where governors have given to themselves authority that's has not been given to them by the Constitution in the United States of America. Let me read one other blurb, and then I'll go back to Greg in a moment. We'll talk. He says, the leadership team acknowledged that while Christians are commanded to honor earthly governors and magistrates, that mandate, quote, does not include compliance when such officials attempt to subvert sound doctrine, corrupt biblical morality, exercise ecclesiastical authority, or supplant Christ as head of the church in any way, end quote. He goes on to say, when the pandemic first emerged, we agreed to follow the state's edict. Phil Johnson, executive director for Pastor MacArthur's teaching ministry, warned a few weeks ago that the state might go too far. Quote, how long until the government-ordered guarantee quarantine is undeniably excessive, or we conclude that it's targeted persecution against churches and worship service, and therefore an illegal attempt to make us disobey. The time may come, he said, when it does, and we have to implement principles of Acts 5:29, when Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the question today. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Greg, the question that I ask for our listeners, and I'll ask you, and I'll ask it very broadly but yet succinctly, is Dr. John MacArthur correct? Does the Bible give us an answer? Is there biblical examples for us to understand civil government's authority in and over God's church? What do you say, Greg? What is your position?
I think, you know, I'm the junior theologian betwixt the two of us. However, I'm going to get theological for just a moment here. Dr. MacArthur needs to be joined by pastors across this land.
Amen.
And here's what needs to happen. I believe biblically, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Gavin Uzziah Newsom, governor of California, you need to read the scripture, my friend. Second Chronicles makes very clearly, there are things that appertain to government and things that appertain to the church.
Yes.
Second Chronicles 26:18 said, they withstood Uzziah the king and said to him, it appertaineth not unto thee. My friend, Gavin, we're going to call you Uzziah Newsom. You need to back up. You need to consider your place. There is a judgment that God makes in these equations. And you do not want to be the recipient of that judgment that God makes. But for believers, we know what God has to say in his word. We know, and John MacArthur is 100% right. Now we just need pastors and believers across these United States to stand up and to be counted and to not Absolutely. Give in when the government has ordered that which is non-biblical. We ought to obey God rather than men.
Absolutely. In fact, Greg, you'll recall back as far back as early March, I have been talking about this subject, and I said we have the responsibility to obey God and not men, just as you quoted from Acts 5:29. But going back to King Uzziah, I'm looking at that text in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. The fifth verse says, and speaking of King Uzziah, he was 16 years old when he began to reign, and reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem, the scripture says. And in verse 5 it says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And listen, this is what he says. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles, talking about King Uzziah, said, as long as he sought the Lord God, God made him to be successful. The word is prosper. Uhuda means that he gave him success in what he was doing. But then, as Greg just referred to in the 18th verse, unit of thought literally goes back to verse 15. It's a transition. It's talked about the fact that he was great and was successful as long as he sought the Lord. Talking about King Uzziah. Took the throne when he was 16 years old, reigned over in Jerusalem for some 52 years. The scripture says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And as Greg alluded to just a moment ago, the whole story is there, ladies and gentlemen, 81 priests, 81 men of God, 81, if you put it in the vernacular today, church pastors, said, King Uzziah, you're the king, you're the civil government, you're over the civil government, not over the church. It's not your right, it's not your responsibility, it's not your duty. You're not to go into the house of God and offer incense on the sacrifice table. It's not your responsibility. And they withstood him, the scripture says, they withstood Uzziah, the king, and talks about the fact that it is not for the king, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go in and to go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. And the scripture says, verse 19, when Uzziah was wroth, that means he was bent out of shape, extremely angry. He was in a rage. He was, if you please, hot-headed, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth, angry, bent out of shape with God's men, the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says in verse 20, the Lord had smitten him. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying to you and what Greg touched on a moment ago is the fact that there is a wall of separation of church and state, not found in our Constitution, not found in our founding documents, but found in the Word of God. And that wall of separation of church and state is that the government has no authority, no ability, none whatsoever to enter into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, have anything to say about when it's open, when it should be closed, what it should preach, what it should teach, and how many people are allowed to be there. Greg, what is your take on that? How do you respond to my statements on that? What should our people understand that's listening?
Listen, we need to realize that even those on our high court, the Supreme Court, that wrote in their dissent describing this craziness. Alito pointed out that it's not a surprise that Nevada would discriminate in favor of the powerful gaming industry and its employees, but this court's willingness to allow such discrimination is disappointing. We have, Alito wrote, a duty to defend the Constitution, and even a public health emergency does not absolve us of that responsibility. It is amazing to me how easily individuals just give up, just say, you know what, I'm going to defer. And I think it's many that misquote or misunderstand Romans 13 and our obligation to submit. And I'm going to point out once again, folks, we do have an obligation to submit, but guess what? That government is ordained of God as well. And the real authority in this country is not Gavin Uzziah Newsom. The real authority in this nation is not Lori Lightfoot. The real authority in this nation is not even those fellows on the U.S. Supreme Court or the fella in the White House. Understand, all of them swear an oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution is self-declared as the supreme law of the land. It is not a problem for a believer, knowing our history and knowing the principles which underlie the Constitution, it's not a problem for us because we're not in oppression, because of the Constitution. The Constitution was clear. What we're now declaring as believers, and I believe John MacArthur's articulated, Dr. Youngblood has articulated, pastors across this United States that understand, Pastor Jeffries in Texas has done a great job with this, pastors that understand from whence their rights and their liberties come, there's not a problem with this. The problem is not understanding. And the problem is deferring as if you're a second-class citizen, deferring to some dictatorial rule of a governor or a mayor is ridiculous. Understand, First Amendment, freedom of religion. Of course, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, right? Those things are there. But do you have it as a believer? Yeah, you do. You have the same rights as everyone else. And as applied through the 14th Amendment, equal protection, guess what? It belongs to all of us. And within the Scripture, again, I'm second fiddle a theologian today, but I will point out the fellow that wrote that book of Romans, or penned it, Romans 13, that everybody quotes, that fellow also declared his rights as a Roman citizen.
Amen.
Folks, Calvary Chapel did the right thing in declaring their rights as citizens. And they said, you know what, we're going to take this, and they took it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. The fact that the U.S. Supreme Court made a huge, huge mistake does not change the Constitution. Now, if you believe in a twisted view of stare decisis, this notion that let the decision stand, if you believe in a twisted view of that and you don't understand that even the Supreme Court makes a mistake from time to time, well, then I guess you'll just give up as soon as the Supreme Court makes a mistake. I do not intend to give up. John MacArthur does not intend to give up. Dr. Gene Youngblood does not intend to give up. Dr. Jeffries does not intend to give up. I hope and I pray that pastors across the United States, leaders, teachers, preachers, stand up. You are not a second-class citizen. Stand up. God is on your side. And as
absolutely
a secondary measure,
as you have said,
the Constitution is on your side.
Yes, as you have so succinctly stated, Greg, it is not just the Constitution, but it is the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God that literally takes precedence over the Constitution. So it's not just the Constitution, although that's our Founding Fathers' founding document that we have survived on for 244 years in America as a nation. And we need to understand that that takes precedence over any virus. In fact, here's an article that says, John MacArthur is right to resist. One attorney says Pastor John MacArthur is declaring his church in California will not will meet for services regardless of what the governor says is constitutionally and theologically sound. For all, first of all, it's a First Amendment right. Dr. MacArthur told John Tucker Carlson on Fox News Channel, this is the United States of America and the government cannot intrude and worship. In the state of California, this is some numbers that Dr. MacArthur gives. In the state of California, there are 40 million people, MacArthur explains. 8,500 of them have died with COVID-19. That's 0.002% of the population. So why would you shut down the entire state, and particularly when people are frightened and sometimes terrified that they're going to die, shut down the church when most of the intense relationships in our society exist in the church? Dr. MacArthur then added that his congregation at Grace Community Church went 21 weeks with no ministry to children, no ministry to students, no ministry to senior adults, and with no funerals and no weddings. Quote, I can't go to the hospital, Dr. MacArthur said. I've had to go on the phone to talk to people while they're dying in the hospital. Further, the article says, Abraham Hamilton III, general counsel for the American Family Association and host of the Hamilton Corner on the AFR Talk, believes Dr. MacArthur is right to resist Governor Newsom's orders against worship services. Quote, emergency orders must be time limited, Hamilton says. You cannot announce an indefinite suspension of the First Amendment. And even the Attorney General, William Barr, has said there is no COVID-19 exception for the First Amendment right in our Constitution, end quote. So, Greg, it nails it on the head just exactly what you have just said. And we need to understand that. And I pray that our listeners today will understand it. Let me tell you again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Youngblood. This is Let's Face the Issues broadcast that you're tuned into. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. We're talking today with one of our sons, Greg Youngblood. Greg happens to hold a credential, a degree in ecclesiastical jurisprudence, and I don't say that bragging on him. I say that because I'm thankful for his knowledge of the Scripture and his knowledge of the Constitution and how it's applicable and how it integrates with society and how we ought to live today. So it's not a matter of just an airhead talking coming off the top of your head. It's a matter of knowing what we're talking about and wanting us to be urged to understand that the step that Dr. MacArthur has taken ought to be commended and used as a barometer in every church, in every pastor, and every pulpit across America. I've said for months and months and months now, where are the voices that are nationally recognized voices? Where are the voices that's willing to take a stand and risk it all to stand for truth? And that's what we ought to do today. Greg, there's some others in the Bible that I want us to talk about for a moment, if you will. Daniel refused to obey Caesar, the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel. You recall the story. The edict had been given. The law had been signed. It was a law, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't a fiat decision by a wannabe dictator. It was a law that had signed. The Scripture says it was a signed law. That means it wasn't just a ruling by a governor or a mayor that wants to control as a dictator. The law was signed that nobody could pray but to the emperor of that day, pray to the king, and for 30 days. Daniel could have said, well, ladies and gentlemen in my church and my home and my family, you know, it's just 30 days. Let's be silent. Let's shut up. Let's pull in our horns and do no worship and do no praying. It's just 30 days, so let's obey it. It's just 30 days. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the exact approach that was taken with the liberty that's destroyed, the liberty, liberal liberty, that is, that's trying to destroy the churches today, that it's going to be just 2 weeks, then it's going to be 30 days. And ladies and gentlemen, it's gone now for about 5 months, and it's destroying the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Daniel do? Daniel went back to his home. And the Bible says in the 10th verse of the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel that he did the same thing that he had done every day. That is, he prayed three times a day, which was the Jewish custom. He prayed with his windows open. He wasn't afraid for people to see him. He didn't have to go out and wave his arms. Yet the spies were looking out and watching to see how they could find something to challenge and put Daniel to death. And they saw him. They reported that. And you know the rest of the story. Daniel whined and cried and died as a result of that. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Daniel survived simply because he was thrown in the lion's den. But ladies and gentlemen, the lion, when a lion was his pillow and a lion was his footstool, because he obeyed God. He obeyed God. And Greg, that's what I want people to understand today, that we need to obey God and not Caesar. It is Christ and not Caesar that's the head of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you know others, Greg, that we need to recognize. Yeah. But we need to understand and we need to stand for Christ.
Right. We can go through in that story, and I suppose my mind immediately backs up, because we know that that story, that law was prefaced with a false statement. As the king was approached, they said, all of the princes have met. And basically, they're saying, hey, there's consensus in the kingdom. There's consensus in the kingdom. We all agree. We need to pass this law, king. Now, I've got a question for you, senior theologian. Tell me, did all of them meet? Did all of them agree? Was there consensus? No, there wasn't consensus.
None whatsoever, because Daniel was it. That's right, no consensus. Daniel was in line to be the chief over all of the territory of the kingdom under the leadership of the king, and they wanted to find fault with him. They found him not only faultless, but they found him faithful in carrying out what God wanted him to do.
I suppose it gets me in this day of Facebook and Twitter and Google censorship. You know, we got Facebook fact checkers out there. I'm wondering if we pulled that statement out and we just applied the Facebook fact checkers, you know what? They wouldn't say a single thing about that. The fact that all of them didn't meet. there wasn't consensus, because you know that is okay with them, because it goes in their line of thinking, it goes with their leftism, it goes with their political ideology. How many folks today completely overlook the lies, the perversion, all the things within the left, because they happen to be a Facebook censor? But if within an entire page of facts, a litany of details of facts exposing the socialism's creep within society, if they find one thing, a date that's off or whatever that's off, they will give what I call the screen of shame. You know, it says false information underneath this cover, or partly false information. Now, we as believers, we got to call out false information. What I'm spelling out is the bias, and what I'm telling you today is the bias is off the charts. You won't find the screen of shame on Facebook over false statements of the left. Isn't that interesting? Now, see, Dr. Youngblood, you're not scouting out Facebook every day. I'm one of the guilty parties. I see that a lot, and I think people listening to us on the radio today, they see that, and they go, why is there so, you know, I keep going to folks that are conservatives and Christians, and I'm finding that they've got the screen of shame. You know, they're sharing false information. Well, open up those things and start reading and find out what they call the false information. They'll pick out three words and say, see, this date was wrong. See, this color was wrong. Something was wrong with it, and they will screen of shame the whole thing in order to block you from being able to receive good information. We don't care if it's hydrochloroquine information, and you can have your opinion one way or the other on that. But guess what? Bless God, you're allowed to have your opinion, aren't you?
But absolutely. But that's the way it should be.
It's being squelched. It's being squelched.
That's it.
So, and it's sad that even the U.S. Supreme Court now has fallen into this game, this political game. They are squelching politically. They're not squelching based on the Constitution. We literally, in the past 7 decades, have watched the U.S. Supreme Court cite international law, folks. They've cited crazy things. Now, where's their oath? And again, I don't stand as a believer on the Constitution alone. I stand on the Bible. However, that Constitution was framed very well. So my oath to support, protect, and defend it is not a bad oath, because it's not in violation of my scripture. But people make decisions and say that they're constitutional all the time, and those decisions are in violation of the Constitution. Therefore, by the way, folks, with some modicum of authority, I make this declaration. Years back, in the state of Florida, they added the words "and government" to a person's oath of office. So when you swear an oath of office in the state of Florida right now, you swear or affirm to support, protect, and defend the Constitution and government of the United States and of the state of Florida, so help me God. Well, it doesn't sound like a big thing, but I challenged years ago the Secretary of State on those words "and government," because I didn't think they were appropriately applied. And I declared that the duty-bound would rend himself or herself in due course by attempting to cling to both. Our government oftentimes treads on our constitutional rights. Therefore, you need to decide whose side are you on. When government treads on your rights, do you stand with the Constitution or with the government? Who do you submit to? Who does God expect you to submit to? The tyrannical government, whether it's Lori Lightfoot or Gavin Uzziah Newsom, who do you submit to? You know, I declare that the Constitution self-declares as being the supreme law of the land. And when any bureaucrat, any official, or Gavin Uzziah Newsom treads on that, they're the ones that are out of line, not us. We stand on those founding principles firmly as believers.
Greg, in fact, I thought as you were talking about that of another event that most do not think about in the Scripture. It was John the Apostle that wrote the book of the Revelation. He was the human author of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and of the book of John, and of the book of the Revelation. He was banished to the Isle of Patmos out in the Aegean Sea, that rocky, craggy, 8 by 8 mile by 10 mile island, as a prisoner, simply because he refused to say Caesar is Lord. He refused to worship Caesar as Lord. As a result of that, he was banished to the Isle of Patmos, where God gave him revelation that was written then, that we have the benefit of the book of the Revelation today. And it's because he took a stand and said, I am not going to obey government because it's against the Word of God. And we've got just a few minutes left, Greg, but what I want to do is touch on some final thoughts in relationship to what we've been talking about. So not only is it biblical that we say no to the tyrannical government that says shut down the churches, but it's constitutional that we say no to that as well. And here's an article that touches on some of that thought. I'm going to pick some of the things out here because it's a lengthy article. It is from Liberty Counsel Matt Staver. And it says, Pastor John MacArthur has had enough. He now sees the political agenda behind the restrictions and rightfully says that Caesar has no authority over the church. Liberty Counsel has filed a federal lawsuit on behalf of several hundred California churches against Governor Newsom. And they have, by the way, for our listeners' understanding and edification, there are three of those cases that's making its way to the U.S. Supreme Court and is ripe for the hearings as I speak before the courts. And they deal with the very same thing that the previous one that you just spoke of, Greg, that had come before the courts and the courts ruled an error on it, as I believe. Here is an article that I'll close with, and we'll talk about it, Greg. Dr. John MacArthur, not an hour to fear, but triumphant hour for the church. Dr. MacArthur says, the church is not only essential, but our only hope for doomed sinners. This is not a problem to be feared, he says. This is a triumphant hour for the church to be the church. Standing for the glory of God is more important in this hour than I have ever known in my life. For his glory, we will stand and meet and worship and preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. We understand that the world does not understand the importance of the church, Dr. MacArthur said. The world does not understand that it is not only essential, but it is the only hope for eternal life for doomed sinners around the globe. Greg, how do you respond to that in our closing minute?
Now, I will stand with Pastor MacArthur in this righteous stand, knowing that in the end, God gives the victory. They may lock him up. They may shut off the power of water of the church. That's another whole discussion right there. The notion that the government might have the authority to shut off your power and water over this issue. Really, folks? But I stand the righteous stand because in the end, God gives the victory. Not Gavin Uzziah Newsom, not Lori Lightfoot, not the governor of Nevada. These folks, they don't understand that they're little authorities. It's not to diminish them as human beings, but they are not the supreme authority. God is that supreme authority, and he will provide the victory.
Christ is Lord, and he is Lord of all. He is Lord over Caesar. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.